So I'm going to begin this morning with a quiz. You don't actually have to raise your hand. Just answer to yourself. This is a test that the psychologists Kahneman and Tversky, Kahneman who won the Nobel Prize, Tversky who had passed away, tested many people over the years, and I'm going to give it to you. Linda is a 31-year-old, single, outspoken, and very bright woman. She majored in philosophy. As a student, she was deeply concerned with issues of discrimination and social justice and participated in anti-nuclear demonstrations. Now, is it more likely that Linda will become a bank teller or Linda will become a bank teller active in the feminist movement? Answer, and then I will tell you. 85% of the people that Kahneman and Tversky tested said a bank teller active in the feminist movement. But if you think about it for a second, that is not possibly true. Because you see, if she's a bank teller, then she's a bank teller whether she's active in the feminist movement or not. And therefore, it's more likely that she'd be a bank teller than a bank teller who does this, that, or the other thing. Because either way, she's a bank teller. So even though we guess a bank teller who's active in the feminist movement, please hold people in the back, if you would. Mansoor? Please hold people in the back, if you would. Thank you. So if she's a bank teller active in the feminist movement, she's already a bank teller. And the larger class contains the smaller one. But as soon as we, that's like my saying, is it more likely that that would be a piece of bread or a piece of bread with a bite taken out of it? Well, if it's a piece of bread with a bite taken out of it, it's still a piece of bread. So it's more likely that it's a piece of bread than anything else. Is it more likely that I'm a man wearing a red tie or that I'm a man? Obviously, more likely that I'm a man no matter what kind of tie. So when I said to you, is it more likely that Linda is a bank teller or Linda is a bank teller active in the feminist movement, you probably guess active in the feminist movement because of all the other things she does. But the truth is, it's much more likely that she's a bank teller because that includes the other class. Kahneman and Tversky did this because they investigate, and won the Nobel Prize for investigating, the ways in which the human mind draws mistaken conclusions. And this is one example, I'm going to give you a couple others. But they say that's because our minds work along two different tracks, fast thinking and slow thinking. Fast thinking is what we call instinct, and it's amazing how often our instincts are wrong considering the fact that we always trust them to be right. How often have you heard, go with your first thought? If you had gone with your first thought in the puzzle I just gave you, you would have been wrong. But if you've heard the puzzle before, then you understand why that can't be right. So, for example, a very common one is confirmation bias, where people will not only listen more often to people they agree with, but they've measured, if you read an editorial that you agree with and one that you disagree with, most people will take up to 36% more time reading the one they agree with. In other words, they don't skip over the information they don't like because they agree with it. We tend to listen more to people who agree with us, and when people disagree with us, we tune them out. And we don't really absorb their arguments. That's confirmation bias. Here's another one. You know every time you flip a coin that the chances that it will land on heads are 50-50. But if I flip a coin 5 times and each time it lands on tails, and you ask most people, what are the chances that it'll land on heads next time? They'll say, oh, very good. Almost certainly, because it was 5 times it landed on tails. But the truth is, every time you flip it, it's still 50-50. Even though, and this, by the way, works very well for those of you who own casinos. Even though you figure it must be a better chance this time. But it's not true. That's why when they have studied in sports whether someone has a hot hand or not, the truth is statistically it all averages out. And it is a myth that sometimes people have a hot hand or somebody has a streak. It's all, if you average it out long enough, it all falls into the curve of normal. But our minds don't work that way. So let me give you one other. This was, I thought, a very interesting one. This is called, I'll tell you two more, actually. One about sunken costs, that is our tendency not to want to lose things, and also the other one called the anchoring effect. So this guy offered someone, I'll give you a version of it, it's not the exact version. The guy offered someone a magazine subscription. You could pay $10 for the magazine online, or $25 for the magazine in print, or $25 for the magazine online and in print. So obviously nobody went for $25 in print, right? Because that you can get online and in print for $25. About, let's say, half went for the magazine online for $10, and half went for the magazine $25 in print and online. Then he made the same offer, but he only made the offer online or in print. He took out the one, or in print and online. He took out the one that was $25 just in print. A lot fewer people went for the alternative that was on print and online, because now it didn't seem like a bargain anymore. When, even though it was still $25 and online was only $10, when before in print was 25 or in print and online was 25, 25 felt like a bargain. So about half the people went for it. Now when it was just $10 online or $25 in print or online, about 80% went just online and 20% paid the $25. This also works for advertising. People offer you deals you don't want, and then it biases you for when they come along with deals you do want. You're much more likely to think, it's so much better than what I could have gotten 10 minutes ago, not realizing, of course, that you're still spending money that had I just walked up to you and offered it, you never would have spent. You get conditioned by what you're offered, and then you want something or don't want something based on what you've had before. Also, people don't like to lose money. They hate losing money more than they like gaining money. And here's a good example of that. A psychologist offered people a trip for $100. They paid and then offered them a better one for $50. The ones that paid for $50, once they found out that they couldn't cancel the $100 trip, most of them took the $100 trip, even though they had already paid for both and the $50 was better. Because even though the $50 is better, at least if you go on the $100 trip, you haven't wasted $100, even though you're going on a worse trip. Whereas if you go on the $50 trip, it may be a better trip, but you feel like, oh my God, I've already wasted $100 because we can't stand to lose money. So we will, in fact, throw bad money after good. And again, this is what the casinos count on. You'll pay more money because, I've already lost $400. If I walk away now, I've lost it, so I have to keep spending money in order to make back what I've already lost. Those sorts of, and everybody works this way, by the way. It's not just, one group or another. Everyone works this way. Those sorts of tests are what Kahneman and Tversky made a worldwide reputation in creating. They have a book, Kahneman wrote a book. As I said, Tversky passed away. Kahneman wrote a book called Thinking Fast and Slow that you can read about this and other tests that they do, and you'll be amazed how illogically you work. It's remarkable. We think we make sense. And Kahneman said to, by the way, just as a side note, yes, two Jewish psychologists at Harvard, but Amos Tversky, who grew up in Israel, Kahneman said, he was always amazed at how differently they in the psychology department thought about human beings from the way the people in the economics department thought about human beings. Because he said in the economics department, they thought people made sense and they made rational decisions. And here we were in the psychology department proving every single day that our decisions are irrational. And so once you know this, you have a better chance of making good decisions. And that's why Kahneman wrote his book. He said, if you read Thinking Fast and Slow, then you'll at least know that your mind works this way and distrust it sometimes. because our fast thought, our first thought, is not always our best thought. And you can believe something very deeply on instinct, and it actually can be wrong. And that our instincts are not always correct. They're a product of the fast brain, which is easily fooled. Easily fooled. As the example of Linda at the beginning, is she a banker or a bank teller who's a feminist? And our fast brain immediately says bank teller who's a feminist, of course. And our slow brain realizes that that actually makes no sense at all. I bring this up because tshuva's kind of like that too. We deceive ourselves very easily about the wrong we do. We minimize it. We listen more to confirmations that we're good than that we're bad. We tend to dismiss contrary information. We look at our behavior not globally but in specifics. So we think, okay, yes, maybe that one time I got angry, but I'm not really an angry person. Just like Linda maybe is a feminist banker and not a banker. Whereas actually, if you get angry enough times, then maybe you're an angry person. And we don't, as a result, explore ourselves and our souls the way that we really should, not because we're not thoughtful, decent people, but because we go with our first instinct and we don't really think about it. We don't ask other people, what do you think? I'm the kind of other people who will tell us the truth. Because most people, when you say, what do you think of me, won't tell you the truth. You're a lovely person. You haven't done anything wrong. Which is also confirmation bias. We tend to believe them. So, on Shabbat Shuvah especially, when we're supposed to be exploring what we do, it is important to use the slow brain as well as the fast brain. That is, examine what it is you actually do. Don't just assume that, of course, I'm a good person and everybody likes me. That is, look at the times that you don't want to look at. Where are you uncomfortable with your own behavior? That's where the exploration should start, exactly the place you don't want to go. What is it that other people have told you about yourself that makes you uncomfortable and you don't want to think is true, but the reason it upsets you so much is probably because there's some truth in it. I find this certainly myself. When I get letters, and I do, that are outrageously angry and attacking and off the charts, I ignore them. But the letters that actually say things, even if I disagree with them, but that touch something that's real, those are the ones I can't get out of my head. The ones that insist that I should convert to their religion, that I can ignore. I get lots of those. But the ones that say that I'm not doing this part, the Judaism, the way I should, or have I forgotten this, or am I ignoring that, or did I not treat this person right, or did I not, those stick with me, because as much as I'd like to dismiss them, you know that when you criticize someone in a way that touches a nerve, there's something there to explore. So that's what you should be looking for. What do people say to you that bothers you? Because it doesn't bother you only because they shouldn't say something like that. It bothers you because there's some kernel in it that has some truth for you to understand. And the people who say all good things about you, I encourage you to ask them the same question that I ask when people come to me to deliver a eulogy. They'll say to me, this person was a wonderful father, was a wonderful person, always treated everyone kindly, gave to tzedakah, cared about the community, had a great marriage, was a wonderful grandfather. I always say, what was his biggest fault? Not because I necessarily want to talk about that, but you can't understand someone unless you know where their cracks were. What could they do better? And so you can't understand yourself either unless you ask the people who love you, okay, I know I'm great, I know you love me, I know, what's my biggest fault? What's my biggest fault? Tell me. If they can't answer, then either they're not telling you the truth or they're not paying attention, and you need to get someone else. In other words, you know you have confirmation bias. You know you're going to believe the people who say good things about you, so seek out the opposite. That's what tshuva is about. It's not about patting yourself on the back. It's about being better. And there are lots of ways. I only read you 3 or 4 of the many different ways in which our brains fool us into constructing the world differently from the way it's actually constructed. But for the purposes of tshuva, the most important one is that we can actually take the time to think carefully through our lives, through our actions, and with our friends, and with our loved ones, about who we are, so that next year we can do a little bit better, a little bit better, and fool ourselves a little bit less. Shabbat shalom, shana tova, let's invite everybody in.